Good morning, and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good morning, Bob.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. What does goodbye mean to you? And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Chris. Hello, Bob. It's Brian from Detroit.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? Goodbye anymore, it seems like outside of a social convention that when I feel a sense of having to say goodbye, it just comes with this feeling of attachment. And
like attachment to the person, the thing, the
to it
feeling,
all.
The
yeah, to everything, to the whole thing. It's kind of like I've grasped onto that thing, and I'm holding onto it so that I have this need to say goodbye, which sort of gets in the way of the experience of the thing itself.
Yeah, I would think that would be true. Yeah, and language-wise, it's actually, and tell me if this is true, Brian, but it's not you that's doing the holding on.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it would be the sort of conditioned state saying, this has to be, I'm trying to make something permanent, where hello.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Hello is always like possibility. Hello is like hello to the next possibility. So I think, at least in recording, what I'm learning is that I'm gravitating towards, that constant state of hello. And if I don't feel a need to say goodbye to anything, it's entirely fine. It's outside the social convention of, like, leaving a room or...
Yeah. Well, that's fabulous. So essentially, it's like, how can we make a goodbye more like a hello, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of stay in that openness that we know is there in the hello, that openness to possibility. And,
Yeah, there's some sort of surety about saying goodbye to something, like some sort of knowing that the whole conditioning thing thinks it knows. It's like, okay, this thing is gone. Well, I don't know that.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of just like this little game that conditioning plays to, and there's always an emotional component of saying goodbye, but it's all that holding on to stuff, so... Anyway, that's been really interesting to look at. It's fascinating.
Yeah, very much so. And because what's dropping in for me is that, because as you mentioned it, there's like a cultural bias for how goodbyes go, right? There's a conditioned bias for it. There's probably various social groups have different biases, right? There's all of that that comes in. And then I think part of what you're pointing at is there's other ways to say goodbye.
There's just the experience of the experience itself, like the words don't describe the experience, I guess. But it's almost like I'm always like saying goodbye. The sun comes up, the
exactly,
sun goes down.
It's
a constant state of like gain and loss. I mean, yeah. So identifying it and hanging on to it or trying to like structure it in some way seems like I'd rather say hello, I guess.
Well, that's a great image. And so there's the sun, right? A beautiful, spectacular sunset. It's setting below the horizon, and conditioning is there trying to hang on to it, right?
Right,
And we can just see the futility of it because we know where the sun is going and that perhaps it's going to come back on the other side. We don't actually know that, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
That our best bet for all of it, if we're in a place of, I was looking at it like that when we go to say goodbye to something or someone, we almost never just go and say goodbye,
right? Right.
That it's frequently like an opportunity for gratitude and appreciation. Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, and to be able to express that instead of saying goodbye to things, you could say I love you.
Yeah, perfect. And there's then there it is. That's exactly what you're saying. Well, there's the hello. It's
right.
Kind of the hello and the goodbye. You know, they're not separate from each other, right? They're all kind of glommed onto each other that way.
Right.
In one moment, it might seem like a goodbye, and another one, it might seem like a hello. And we don't have any way to actually know which of those two it is.
So it's been really interesting to look at goodbye and hello as like two ends of a duality, and thinking that neither one is particularly true. But my heart sort of gravitates just having a big smile and saying hello to everything, and then saying, you know, I love you. I don't know if I'll see you again, whatever you are, the sun, a friend, whatever, but I love you, and I'd rather say that than goodbye. So,
I know. It is one of those kind of fun places, isn't it?
It is. It's all fun. It's all, like, tremendously fun. So,
you know what's dropping in when you say that, Brian? I think this matches pretty perfectly. The quote from Ron Das, you know, I love you more than anyone I've ever loved in my life, and I don't care if I ever see you again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I've never heard that, but that's beautiful.
Exactly that sentiment, isn't it? It's like there's no attachment here to whatever it is that we've had or that what we've shared or, right?
Yeah, it's like that saying, nothing really matters and I care so deeply about everything.
Both of those two side by side.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, it's a great place to be, but conditioning just keeps, you know, conditioning doesn't want to live there. It's not about conditioning, and conditioning's all about itself. So, but it's wonderful to have the opportunity to talk about it and to keep gravitating back towards it. So have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Brian. You too.
Be well.
Thanks, Brian. And you know, what was dropping in for me, at least during that conversation, was essentially like what brings me here into the moment and what takes me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I love you certainly brings me into the moment, and goodbye seems just like the holding on to the goodbye seems like a big opening for conditioning to take control.
Yeah, as you say that, it's like goodbye is goodbye to life in some way. If we're going to move into a conversation with conditioned mind, it's like, well, life, goodbye, right? And that's that. Exactly. So the I love you, I don't know, the way we always talk about it, yes, please, thank you, I love you, there it is, right? There's that hello that Brian's talking about. And we can just live there. And let life handle the details, as we say.
Yeah, and it just seems like this big invitation to actually being here for what's actually here in the moment.
Yeah.
Great. All righty, here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, it's Jill in New York City.
Hello, Jill.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Bob. So that was a great conversation, and it fits really nicely with what I was looking at.
Excellent.
What I saw was that my conditioned experience of goodbye is to somehow convince myself that it's not really saying goodbye, that it's actually some sort of pseudo-Zen thing of like, oh, you know, it's...
We'll meet in the hereafter.
There's never any goodbye or, you know.
Right.
And so what happens is I skip over the feeling part. You know, I skip over the person who is there who would have to experience anything about it. And so exactly what you guys were talking about, I skip over, you know, the conditioned pull is to skip over the appreciation, to skip over the love, to skip over any of the sadness or any of the, you know, the profoundness of, you know, I might be departing from someone who I might never see again. Anything human, exactly. You know, that's sort of my karma, is to just look for a shortcut out of being human.
Uh-huh.
And I really saw that in this process of like, you know,
I
to not be with it, essentially, is to just have an intellectual understanding of it, and you know, blow
kind of
right
gloss
over it.
Over it in that way, right? Try and be as unaffected by life as possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well
yeah.
Said.
And so in the way that you're describing it, it's I mean, what's the words that are dropping in, or it's an intimacy dodge.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Conditioning is manipulating the attention in a way to keep the human from being in touch with themselves primarily, right?
Yes.
And with their experience of life, this other person, and what's happening and what's changing, and, you know, all of those things.
Yeah, anything that's happening below the surface, don't be with it. You know, just be with the efficiency of
right.
this.
Right.
Aspiration to not be human. So yeah. I love seeing that. It was really, really helpful, actually.
It is.
And to also see that it has changed. Like, it, you know, I was thinking to a lot of my recent goodbyes, and I mean, it is really it's a whole different game now than that conditioned. I'm not saying I don't experience that sometimes, but by and large, it's it's the goodbye is, I'm here with it, so.
Yeah, it sounds like, Jill, you're onto it, and it's a workshop at this point. So conditioning can't get away with glossing over those things, like getting the human to just pass through those things with any kind of, and not noticing what's really going on like it used to, right? Used to be able to get away with more of that, but now you've brought it into conscious, compassionate awareness. You're tuning into deeper and deeper levels of what's going on. Conditioning can't get away with the gross things it used to, but it's still there. You know, as your level of awareness is expanding, it's kind of still hiding out in the corners, we should say, or at levels that were more subtle than we noticed before.
Yeah, and actually the previous exercise really helped with my seeing this, because what I saw in the previous exercise was that goodbye means all sorts of different things. And so that sort of blew apart this idea that conditioning loves, which is that, you know, goodbye means, you know, I'll have to feel something sad, I guess is how it originally developed into my trying to avoid it, that feeling. And so, you know, like, yeah, exactly like what you're saying with awareness practice, you just see that goodbye is just another sort of moment, you know. It's just another moment among moments. Like as a previous caller said, it actually as a word, it fails to really capture what the experience is, because it's a moment by moment experience. So how can you even say something about it? So and that dissolving, I think, of the meaning of the word allows the experience to just be there.
Well stated.
That
is the whole deal, right? As soon as we see and see through the conditioning, then that is what happens. We are exactly left with just experience. And, it's grand.
Yes. Great.
Yes.
Sounds good. Thank you, Chris. I didn't have anything else. Well, I could talk forever, but I'll...
we all could, yeah. That's perfect, though. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Jill. And I just love that whole conversation around, you know, experience and the thing that Jill was talking about early on of, like, you know, just essentially pointing to, like, how important it is to acknowledge when we actually have dropped the conversational conditioning and been here for the experience.
Boy, that's such a great point, Bob. Yeah, that oftentimes, if we don't have a framework to be able to put those experiences in, right, to know that conditioning was active and we were off with it and then we dropped it, then, you know, we just go on and that gets labeled again by conditioning as something, well that was kind of weird, or, you know, something like that. And as you're saying, if we do have some way, a framework to place all of that into, then it just strengthens. Recording and listening helps with this too, right? Just strengthens the insight that just happened, the direct experience that was there.
Yeah. Because as you were talking, you know, what occurred to me is, like, so, like Joe was talking about, like, you know, when conditioning is kind of operating kind of under the you know, under, you know, whatever you want to call it, like just it's just it seems very quiet, but it's certainly operating there.
Uh-huh.
And kind of seeing that, but and then also seeing like when we actually, you know, that the getting here and having a direct experience and doing the thing, you know, whether it's recording and listening or just doing an assignment that brings us here, that when we acknowledge that, that doesn't happen, you know, kind of underground, that it's brought to the surface so that we're, you know, we see we're there for it and we get to acknowledge the person who showed up for it.
Yeah. Celebrate the practitioner in that.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself? Oh, let me try that again. Next caller.
Hello, this is Ladima from Indiana.
Hi, Ladima.
Hi, Chris. I am calling in because I'm trying to get back on the wagon with doing the daily assignment. So
okay, perfect.
I put myself in the queue even though I'm struggling to keep up. So
good for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that means you're caught up.
Okay. Thanks.
You're here.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to be drugged down by conditioning bringing the past in on us. So we got talked out of assignments, and now we're here, and we don't want to be dragged back into, but you still haven't done the assignments, right? No, we're here, and it's grand. And so what's next?
Yeah, exactly. So I have to say I have this conditioned reaction to the saying goodbye quote that you just said to someone about, I think, I forget who you said it was from, like, it's really...
I think it's
really,
Ram Dass, yeah.
I'm really happy to meet you, but I don't care if I ever see you again.
What's that?
Something about I'm really happy to be here with you, but I don't care if I ever see you again.
Yeah, even worse than that, Ladima. I love you more than anyone I've ever loved in my life, and I don't care if I ever see you again.
Wow, that is really hard to, I just have such a reaction to that.
Exactly. And conditioning takes a big hit with that because we're all so conditioned to believe if you love someone, that means something. And it doesn't mean, it means something. There's something continuous in that's moment to moment. There's an identity that gets drugged from moment to moment about that. I don't know if that made any sense, but
yeah. That's I'm there's so much conditioning around that, and then I'm in my life circumstances right now are dealing with an aging and a parent whose health is failing, and that the prospect of that goodbye is it's a daily thing. Well, that, you know, is this the day, or do we have another year or two, or you know?
Uh-huh.
And so it's
which is an interesting place because that's true for everything all the time, but it tends to be more in our awareness when someone has an illness. Then we really do get to that place of, well, how much longer here?
And it's, I wish I could say that it's a comfort to try and put myself in this frame of mind of non-attachment, that it helps me deal with it and not feel sad, but I still feel sad. So, you know, it's kind of like I'm like, okay, how do I do grief? How do I deal with my sadness about the loss
Yeah.
But yeah,
because there's
nothing. I've got words for it.
Exactly. There's nothing in what we're saying about not feeling any of the grief or not being sad, right? That's not the case. That oftentimes, as things change, then there will be those places of emptiness inside, right? That we, when we refer to them, when we feel them, it feels like sadness or grief, right? And so there isn't anything that says that we can't be with those sensations or feel those sensations, right? That doesn't actually, having the sensations doesn't actually mean anything about the person who's experiencing them or anything else, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yet that is what happens, is that, well, with that, Ladima, then, would you say there's like a negative connotation to sadness when it arises?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so then, and from that then, what happens is, so the sensations that get labeled as sadness, they're coming up. And then there's, we'll just label it what it is, right? There's the dislike of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So self-hate coming in to do what it does. And essentially, then everything after that is trying to make up for the self-hate and doesn't have much to do with the actual sadness that might be there or the feelings that were in that place. Does that make any sense? It's a recovery operation rather than a be-with operation or something
like
that. Yeah,
I think there's very little awareness at all when the sadness is there and then the dislike of the sadness comes in and the self-hate. I'm just lost in that.
Exactly. And you're not alone in that. I'll bet there's a lot of people raising their hands right about now going, yeah, we're all conditioned in that direction, right? To emotions mean things, and we go off with the meanings of the emotions rather than staying with the sensations. And and then get lost there. And what typically happens is, after any kind of dislike that comes in like that we go along with is a self-improvement program. So what are we going to do about this sadness? And, of course, that just keeps the sadness in place for nearly forever, or it just makes it an issue or a wedge between myself and the other person, right? And so if we can dial it back to, I guess, to just to be with the sensations, to be with yourself in that way, and perhaps the best way, the place we always talk about, is with the two-handed recording and listening exercise. So
right.
You want to have the whoever is feeling that sadness to be able to fully express themselves in the right hand.
I think one of the things that I noticed when I tried that and I've done it is that there is, instead of it being the part that gets skipped, and this is where I guess conditioning comes in and self-hate comes in, the part that gets skipped is the sad person talks and is angry too and all the stuff that person's feeling. And then the next person who talks is trying to cheer them up.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to...
Right. So that's the self-improvement.
As opposed to reflecting.
Yeah.
Really, basically doing my own reflective listening buddies session.
You got it.
With myself.
Yeah.
That reflective listening part gets skipped, goes right to the cheer up part, and that doesn't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help, does it? Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And
I
would say it makes it worse.
It does make it worse. Yeah, because someone's being talked out of their feelings.
Yeah.
And that's just not, that's almost never helpful. I think you can go to never helpful, huh?
Yeah.
And so with that, because it sounds like some of what's happening is when the recorder's in the right hand, that you're beginning to sift down through the layers, right? That you actually haven't gotten to the kernel of that sadness or the that what's really being missed in that? What is it that, you know, could even be like we talked about with Brian, you know, the appreciation or the, you know, what is it that's there? What was the connection? That whole kind of thing, right? Just really let that person have that. And it does take a little time to be able to sift down through those layers.
Yeah.
Can you feel it? Right? Because if
yeah.
there's anger coming through, well, that's probably, you know, that's probably not the person who's, that's another experience other than the person who's got the sadness going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
right.
So that's fine. We don't, there's no, right? There's someone that maybe we can see what they're, what they've got going, and then just keep going, keep coming back, keep creating that opening for the, you know, the person who's really experiencing that, the loss, to get to what she has to say. And it can take some settling into to get there. And then what happens is if we can really touch on the suffering that happens in that place, that is what the mentor or the wisdom, love, and compassion that the mentor is, that's what gets responded to.
Okay.
But the first step is going to be to really work with that right hand as an exercise, almost a standalone exercise, just being able to create that opening for her to be, for her to be able to express whatever's going on for her without any reservations, without any editing.
Right.
And you might have to do a little expressing on the anger side before she comes up, becomes available. I don't know, but that's part of the experiment. And then
right.
E. And yeah. And in that, then it's all an awareness exercise. Of course, all of it always is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever happens is always grist for the mill. You'll always be seeing the direction that you're intending to go, right, towards center, and
mm-hmm.
just allowing and surrendering to, and then there'll be what conditioning is doing, right? And so along the way, you'll be getting clues as to how you're being blocked from those things and able to come back and shift your tactics, if that's a good way to describe it, but to adjust your approach or your perspective, your attitude of mind, right? You'll see the self-hate a little more clearly and can drop a little deeper into this place of suffering that's there. And then, just practice that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what we're conditioned to avoid like crazy.
Yes, there's that too.
There's that too. And so it does take a little settling in to reveal, what's below the surface. What is it that conditioning is actually resisting? What's the intimacy there that the pain that's at the center of that? So yeah. And that's a great one to keep us posted on.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Ladina. And Chris, you know, just about the end of the show, but the thing that I loved about that call is like that there's always that, there's just always this opportunity to be paying attention as we're engaged in practice, right? So I'm making a recording and I listen back to it and it's like, the mentor didn't really jump in there, or it seems like we weren't really there for the recording, or maybe I'm actually hearing conditioning responding as the mentor. And just such a great thing to catch that, right? Yeah, that's not right. And well, let's delete that one and let's try again and try and contact with the mentor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All of it's helpful information, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that is what happens is conditioning comes in and I don't know who was it we were talking to the other day that said, you know, conditioning just dresses up in whatever outfit it needs to dress up to fool us. And so it's going to come in as the mentor. If we let it, it will come in as the mentor. And then for me, with that too, Bob, there is a sense of if that's, well, I don't know how I would say it. If I do notice that, let me just back up a little bit. Since it's all an awareness exercise, it's important not to approach something like the two-handed recording and listening exercise as a problem-solving mechanism, as a feel-better mechanism, as a, you know, again, I don't like where I am, and so now we're going to move to this other place. But really, it's all about just what I think you're exactly pointing at, that it's really about, well, you know, what what's going to happen in here? Whatever happens is going to show me something about what's going on, and that's always helpful.
Yeah, I remember hearing someone in a group years ago talking about, like, you know, getting a point for each time catching conditioning, right? So I might, you know, go into a recording thinking I just want to allow this person to express what they need to express and allow the mentor to respond. And maybe that didn't happen, but maybe what happened is I caught conditioning trying to interrupt that process.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And the next time through, we're way less likely to buy it, and we're getting closer to that expression of what the suffering is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Great. All right. This brings us to the end of the show, Chris. And
all right.
Our assignment for today is, how do you say goodbye? What do you feel with goodbyes, RL?
Perfect. You know, I think it's worth pointing out that we never say goodbye at the end of these phone calls.
That's very true. Very true.
I think we always do what Brian does, right? It's always a hello. It's always a take care, go happy, treasure yourself kind of an event. So,
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Chris. We'll see everybody
tomorrow.
All right,
everyone, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.